It's all right. I'll just knock it off. They think it's raining outside and foggy. Did y'all hear them going out the door? It's raining out here. It's foggy. You know, fine morning. Jake said this morning, great, beautiful morning for the 3 feet he could see. You know, that's about the way it is. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Glad to see everybody come this way. Well, we'll open and look to God's Word in just a minute. I just want to say I thank God and praise Him for just an opportunity to come and be here today. You know, it's worth something to get to come to the house of the Lord and praise an almighty God, isn't it? David singing that song, How Great Thou Art. It's a question. We don't really understand yet how great He is, but one day we'll reach the fullness and reality of it, not in this life, but in the life to come, because of the promise He gives through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we're entering up, going to be Easter week, starting up here just any time, and already started, I guess. And I'm excited about that. I know they announced about the sunrise service at Hawkins Cemetery. Everybody's invited. Love to see you show up. I want you to know when you get over at 7 o'clock and it's still dark, I didn't set the time. Okay? Don't hold me accountable, but somebody else set the time, but we'll be all right. We have got special music we're working on. We practiced a little bit Thursday night, and I'm not going to spend much time on this, but again, Thursday night, this coming week, 7 o'clock, we're going to meet, and we're going to pick our guitars and play our music and sing the songs. So anybody want to come practice a little bit, you'd be welcome. And I got 3 songs we're focused on. Let's look at the Word of God this morning in Judges. Talking about Gideon. Again, I can't get him off my mind. You know, I started studying about Gideon. And I guess he ought to excite all of us to see what one man can do in the work of God. Have y'all ever thought about what one person can do and what difference they can make? I know a lot of times, you know, the devil will tell you most often, he'll say, oh, you don't matter. You don't make any difference. But, you know, he's a liar and has been from the beginning and always will be. And it's a lie. Everybody does make a difference in the plan God has for us. So when we start reading about Gideon, we see just a common, normal man, you know, something like we are. Amen. Maybe something like kind of like we are, you know, and not thinking himself too much, but God chose him. And when he chose him, then he qualified him. And then after Gideon put his fleece out about twice and confirmed the word of God, then he said, okay, this is what God wants me to do, so I'll get started. Now, that's a major thing, starting. You know, there's a lot of things we can complete and finish at church, but the thing is, we just have to start. Amen? The start. So Gideon decides, okay, God's confirmed this, and it's going to happen, so I'm going to start. In Judges chapter 7, verse 1, and we start reading about him assembling an army to go against the enemy, and this is very important to me because I pastor a smaller church. I want you to think about this. As we go through, I want you to see what a small group of people can do. Now, they're going to face an enemy that's like grasshoppers of the and just stars of the heavens and sands of the sea, many, many of them. And he's going to bring his troops down to the point that they're going to give credit to God. And I got thinking about, got excited about last night. I was reading through it again. I thought, how much what one small church and the difference we could make when we depend on God for the strength and the power. In Judges chapter 7, verse 1, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill and Moab in the valley. So the battle set. Here's the battle situation. You know, it's pretty much a battle set. And God has told Gideon, he said, by your hand I'm going to deliver them. But what he really meant is by the power of God in your hand. You know, that's what it comes down to. He has to trust the Lord. In verse 2, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. God had a little bit of problem with the army. He said, there's too many of them. He said, you know, they're going to go in. If they win the war, they're going to claim the power. They're going to get the praise. And they're going to say, we did this. Now, I want you to see this point with God. God likes the credit for what he does. You know, most everybody does, but I think God wants the credit for what he does. When God's worked something out in your life, he don't want you to give praise to somebody else. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, I got through it, I worked it out. Understand, if God didn't help you, you probably wouldn't make it. You know, God wanted to have Peter one time to sift him as the sands and sift him as wheat, you know. But Jesus said, but I prayed for you. And I think about the situation we find ourselves in. Now, here's Gideon. He'd round him up a good army. He probably felt pretty good about himself. In verse 3, it said, now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 20,000 and 2,000, and there remained 10,000. Now, that's a drastic cut. I'm telling you, all of a sudden, Gideon feeling good. He said, I got an army of 32,000. God said, you just go tell them. Anybody that's afraid, anybody that's got a fear, so just let them return early. And so 22,000 cut out. Amen. Can you imagine Gideon standing there, and he's probably spilling his shirt tail sag a little bit, and he sees all these people leaving out. But I've come to this point. God knew if they weren't all in, he didn't need them anyway. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? He wanted some people that was committed. I mean, committed to the battle, ready to do what God called on them to do, ready to follow Gideon into a battle against a multitude. And he cut them from 32,000 to 10,000 just like that. 22,000 of them were not fully committed and rather go home than fight the battle. That still happens today. God still wants people committed to the cause, to the battle, committed, you know, say, oh yeah, we're there. We've come to stay. We're there for the duration. And so in verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So God is going to separate the ones that's going to go with Gideon to fight this great battle in his own way, in his own terms. Now, 22,000 already left. I'm sure Gideon think, well, you know, I've still got 10,000 left. That's a pretty good army. I believe I can handle a battle like that. God says too many. Too many. I want the praise for what's going to happen. I want to get the praise, honor, and glory about the battle that's going to be won by my power. And so he takes them down the water, and God gives them a test to do. He said, and verse 5, so he brought down the people under the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by these 300 men that lapped, I shall save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. 300 out of 32,000. Now that's about the point, I'm sure, that Gideon was ready to start another prayer service. And he said, you know, we're real short on this, not but 300, and there's multitudes of this enemy down here. But he trusted God. Now, the major thing of this is that we need to know is that we trust God regardless of the number. This gives me a great feeling about one person can make a difference. A small church can win a battle. Because God helps it, he went from 32,000 down to 10,000 down to 300. And he's probably standing there thinking, 300, what are we going to do? But God's got a plan for the 300. I tried to weigh out last night and tried to make a decision. I know it's kind of prospective. But I thought if I was one of them 32,000, would I have been one that left? Or would I got blessed to be one of the 300 that was going to stand for God and win the battle? God's still hunting those that'll stand and win the battle. I guarantee you, he's still hunting those that'll stand and win the battle. Those 22,000 that left, they weren't really concerned. They weren't all in on it. And they decided they would leave. The 10,000, they got judged by God. And God says, you don't need this 10,000. He said, by the 300, I'm going to win this battle. Kind of gives us a hope that we make a difference, don't it? In verse 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that leapt, I will save you and deliver Midianites into thy hand, and let all the other people go unto his place. God didn't hold it against them. Notice this, the 22,000 and the remainder of the 10,000, they went to their place. God didn't hold it against them. God said, this is not what I need to fight the battle. I need these right here to fight the battle. Now, he chooses people out still this day and time to fight the battle. I believe that with all my heart. In verse 8, so the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, into his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. So they're ready to fight, 300 men. Notice they all retained their trumpets. Music is important everywhere you go, isn't it? Amen? You know, a lot of times we miss this point that they all had their trumpets. God was going to use these trumpets. They were going to blow their trumpets. They were going to win a battle. And I got thinking about the importance of music in the battle. You know, there's a big place for it, isn't there? That it can help in the battle. So it goes on down in verse 9. It came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise and get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down the host. So he said, I want you to go down to the host and the camp of the enemy, and he's going to again reassure him. I love this God that reassures. You know, first he put the fleece out twice, and now he's going to send him down, and he's going to let them hear the enemy's dream of what they're dreaming. They're going to dream that there's a great host coming in to overcome them. They're going to know that they're in a battle that they can't win because God's against them. That's where it's at. In verse 15, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord had delivered unto your hand the host of Midian. So he heard this dream. He goes back. First, he takes time to worship. Now, we're learning a lot of things going through this. Gideon's going to make a difference. He's going to do it with 300 men, but he never fails to worship and praise God for what's going on. You know, that's for our understanding and our learning and our ability that we never miss the place of worship, that we worship God in all things. You know, this morning we came in and we had a song service and it was all about worship and praise to God. That's what it's about when you come into church, that we worship and praise an almighty God. And so here he is in verse 16, he divided the 300 men into three companies and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Now, here comes a verse in verse 17, and he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. Gideon was a pretty brave man. He called attention to himself. He said, watch me and do as I do. That's what leaders in the church still do. Watch me and do as I do. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, do as I say and not as I do. I don't agree with that. If you're going to be a leader in the church, you're going to set an example by what you do. It will set an example. No way around it. Verse 18 said, when I blow with the trumpet and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Notice he got Lord, the Lord first in it, and of Gideon. He's recognizing the power of God. Now, here's 300 people standing around, no telling how many thousands of the enemy, standing up on the ridge, got a pitcher in one hand, trumpet in the other one. They're never going to lift a spear or swing a sword. They're going to blow a trumpet and shine a light, and God's going to win the battle. We need to sound our trumpets and shine the light and let God do the work. In verse 19, so Gideon with the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand to blow with them, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And so they're doing just what God told them to do. They break these pitchers, shine the light, and blow the trumpet. I want you to notice that both hands are full. Amen. Can you see that trumpet in one hand, lamps in the other? God wanted their hands full. They're not going to fight in the battle, but God wanted their hands full. He likes the busy people. He don't like idle hands. He wants us doing something. And so when they stood and they cried this, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. Battle won, never hit a lick, never shot an arrow, never sung a sword, didn't throw a spear, did what God asked them to do. The power of God. He wanted their hands full. He wanted them busy. He wanted them in the work, although they weren't in the battle. So we're in the same position today. One person can make a difference. Maybe nobody's told you lately. One person makes a difference. Everybody here matters. Everybody here has a part to play in this church and the building of God's church and the promotion of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Everybody matters. That's one thing the devil uses. He uses that a lot. You'll come in to visit a church and he'll say, well, you don't matter. You don't make any difference. That's a lie. Ought to smell like smoke. It's straight out of the pit of hell. You do matter. You do make a difference. Everybody has a place. Everybody has a part. Just like the pictures and the puzzles my grandparents used to work. They'd sit and work these 500,000-piece puzzles, and if one piece was missing, you could tell it. Amen. One piece missing out of the whole puzzle, but you could miss it. So everybody here's got a piece of the puzzle, and everybody matters. I'm going to close right there. I hope God encourages you. That I don't know if we'll ever step up like Gideon and lead into a battle, but we don't know what yet will come. We don't know what day will come. All right, y'all stand. We're going to be dismissed today.